You are listening to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson joining you. And so is Bill Jack.
Hey.
Couple of homeschool dads. Bill's done. I'm not. I'm in the middle of it. Bill sits around giving me advice. And today we're going to take a look at the world and crazy things happening in the world today, Bill. I mean, you talk about out of control. If we were sitting back in 1985 in the same basement talking about the future of this country, I don't think we'd be saying, wow, the entire nation's going to move over to neuronic weddings, or, as we like to say, homosexual mirage, by the year 2014. I would not have thought that. I would have thought, yeah, we're probably going to be working the issue for a while, and there's going to be a lot of endorsement of homosexual activity. But wow, this thing's coming on like a storm.
It is steamrolling through the culture. I mean, all you have to do is look at the recent news reports, and you see that bans on same-sex marriage in different states have been challenged or have been blown apart.
It's happening daily now.
Yes.
Okay? The Pandora's box is wide open. I think we had something like 9 states or 8 states went that direction up to 2013. Year 2013, we had another 8 to 9 states. In just 1 year, added to the collection of states that are endorsing neuronic weddings. And then, as of this morning, I'm reading NBC News this morning, on Monday, Oregon became the 18th state to allow same-sex marriages. On Tuesday, Pennsylvania became the 19th. The next day, plaintiffs in Montana filed the first challenge to the ban on gay marriage there. And the day after that, the same thing happened in South Dakota, leaving North Dakota as the lone state with a ban that hasn't been challenged. And then, as I read this, another story pops up. My dad sends me these stories, and boom, my dad sent me another story. Last unchallenged U.S. state banning same-sex marriage to face federal lawsuit, North Dakota.
North Dakota.
So there it is. Pretty much every state now that has banned same-sex marriage, or what we like to call neuronic weddings, has now been challenged. That law's been challenged. And I think so far, here's the assessment of states. Nationwide, there are currently more than 70 marriage equality cases that have been filed in 29 states plus Puerto Rico. Meanwhile, judges in 11 states have issued rulings in favor of same-sex marriage, but many of these rulings have been stayed as they proceed to appellate courts. Judges have struck down gay marriage bans in Arkansas, Idaho, Michigan, Oklahoma, Texas, Utah, Virginia, and in Indiana, Kentucky, Ohio, and Tennessee, judges have issued more limited pro-marriage rulings. So far we have something like 44% of Americans live in states that allow gay marriage. A Washington Post ABC News poll in March found that 59% of Americans say Nero was on the right track. Again, my translation. But the only precedent I can find in history, Bill, is Nero.
He wanted to marry.
He wanted to marry a male or a couple males. And so this is the first precedent we know of is Nero. Now, if somebody can enlighten me to another example in the history of the world, maybe there's somebody in Sodom or Pompeii. I don't know. But I do know that Nero was big time into this idea. And those people, those 59% of Americans, including many professing Christians and many liberal churches who support this thing, are all on board with what Nero was doing in AD 64. And they weren't on board with what the people who are doing, the Christians who are doing, who are being burned by Nero at the stake.
Right. So whose side are they on?
Yeah. Whose side are you on? Good question.
Pick a side.
Pick a side.
You can't straddle the fence. Can't be a mugwump.
Nope. So lots of progress being made. Lots of progress being made towards this neuronic way. I don't get it.
It has nothing to do with marriage. It has to do with power and control, because they want to destroy marriage. Once you can destroy marriage, you can destroy the family. Once you destroy the family, anything is acceptable, from not just same-sex marriage, but bestiality, polygamy.
And the story we covered last week, three lesbians.
Yep.
Three lesbians. Yep, which is the agenda. These guys are going for, you know, whatever. Whatever. They're talking about any form of destroying marriage and the family and morality. At the point where you've got, you know, 3.5 lesbians and 4 orangutans, It's over. I don't know where you go from there.
No, you don't. And I don't see in history any place, any, correct me if I'm wrong, any place in history where a culture has endorsed the homosexual agenda, where culture has endorsed same-sex unions, that that nation has survived or regained its prominence as far as being influential.
Yeah.
I think it's the last step, and it grieves me for my nation, and it frightens me for my children and for my unborn grandchildren.
So, Bill, lots and lots of pressure, lots of pressure, I think, on Christians like us who are taking a stand on issues like this and saying, hey, we're not in favor of some of the worst, most egregious behavior that we have ever witnessed in the history of the world. And yet there are some Christians that are taking the stand, some that are not. And here are several examples. Okay, before we take the break, I want to bring up a couple of examples. We mentioned Phil Robertson from the Duck Dynasty program a couple of months ago, who took the real strong stand against homosexuality and got in a little trouble. A&E was threatening dismissing them. However, they were the most popular nonfiction cable program in the history of cable television as of last season. It's very, very difficult to cancel that when you've got, you know, two different values arguing, you know, the sexual decadence thing on one hand, or the we're going to make $1 million on the other. And so A&E made the right choice.
$1 million.
Went for the $1 million. They kept Phil Robertson for the time being. Now, I have a feeling.
Only because the fans of the show created a public outcry.
Oh, yeah.
About this
you
thing.
Get 10 to 12 million viewers for an incident of Duck Dynasty. 10 to 12 million. That's unreal.
Right.
That's dominating cable.
And see, people are voting with their dollars, which they should. Christians should vote with their dollars. Every dollar spent is a vote for a worldview, and a biblical worldview won out in this instance. Now, some people are going, biblical worldview, Bill, Duck Dynasty is just an entertainment show. It's a faux reality show. It's scripted. You know what? It may be, but it is entertainment, it is, yes. Yeah. But sure. There is an underlying worldview upon which that rests. And that family takes a very strong Christian perspective on all issues. And they wrap up every show by drawing a family value out of the incidents in the show. And they end with a prayer.
Yeah.
And that is rare on TV these days.
That is. Yeah. You go a long way for that.
Yeah. And so even non-Christians recognize the wholesomeness of it and voted for it. And they raised a public outcry. And that's what kept Duck Dynasty on the air.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, when you have 1-2% of the population, 1-2% of the population governing and dictating to the other 98% what should be on TV, then you've got a problem. Because it means that's, and I'm talking about the radical homosexuals, the militant homosexuals. And you got 1-2% of the population pushing for this to be taken off the air. Then you've got a problem, and the problem is with the 98%. It's not with the 2%. Mm-hmm. I expect them to do what they do.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is with the Christians who don't speak up.
Well, it's nice to see that Christians do from time to time. We need the 2%.
Yes.
You can't expect the 96% to speak up. You expect 2% on the left to speak up. But what we need is the faithful to speak up. And thankfully, here's a story. Just came out a couple days ago. Phil Robertson is under fire again after a sermon referencing homosexual comments surfaces. He comes back, doubles down. He's not backing away. He's not backing away. Here it is. Critics are once again raging over Duck Dynasty patriarch Phil Robertson's newfound comments about homosexuality, with some accusing the reality show star of unleashing another homophobic rant during an Easter sermon he delivered last month. It was at White's Ferry Road Church in West Monroe, Louisiana. In the video, the 68-year-old can be seen speaking to parishioners for more than 40 minutes about the Christian faith while also poking fun at the media and specifically addressing the controversy that broke out in December following his controversial interview with GQ magazine. Rather than backing down from his past comments about homosexuality and sin, Robertson doubled down. "They were mad at me," says Robertson, "because instead of acknowledging their sin like you and had better do, they railed against me for giving them the truth about their sin. Don't deceive yourself. You want the verse? News media didn't even know it was a verse. They thought it was just mouthing off. I said, do you know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived. Neither the sexual immoral, idolaters, adulterers, male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Robertson recounted. He says, we've all been there. Admitting himself in his past life would have fallen under the biblical list. The reason we're here today is to remind you of the gospel that was preached.
You know,
there he is. You know, he's saying they didn't preach the gospel. And they won't do it. Right-wing watch never does that with us either. They always go after us condemning sin, but they never, ever, ever include anything of the message of the gospel. Yeah, anything of us saying, hey, such were some of you, that part of the verse.
Right.
You know, that we had those issues. And we look back at our lives. You do. I do. And we know there were incidents in our lives that reflected some of these things in this list.
Yeah.
In 1 Corinthians chapter 6.
1 Corinthians 6:9. And it says, after that, it says, and such were some of you, but you were washed. You were sanctified in the blood of Jesus
Christ. The problem with the Huffington Post people and the Right Wing Watch people and all the people that go after Phil Roberts and me is they don't want to be washed. What do they want to be washed for? They're having a good time in the mud puddle. They're having a great time in the mud puddle.
They don't just want us to ignore that they're having a good time in the mud puddle. They want us to endorse their activity.
Yeah, they sure do.
And that's why they're going after him.
And if we don't, they're going to come after us, and they will not stop until we are clanked into the
They're going to sling mud at us.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm thankful we got Mr. Robertson out there still holding to his guns. He's still saying, hey, guys, it's a sin. It's a sin, but that's why Jesus came, and that's why we can be washed through the blood of Jesus Christ from these sins, and we can come to faith, and we come to repentance, and that is the whole reason why Jesus Christ came, because this world is filled with that filth, and filled with all of the GQ, Huffington Post people that are doing the best job they can to whitewash the whole appearance of the decadent humanist lifestyle.
And you know, you started off by talking about how this is a domino effect, how state after state bans on same-sex marriage are being knocked down or being challenged. And then you have guys like Phil Robertson. And then the next one is Franklin Graham. Graham has stood up.
He's come out a couple times.
Yeah.
Here's the most recent. He's calling on pastors to speak out on abortion and homosexuality. And he says, here it is, God hates cowards. Boy, that takes some guts.
Yeah.
That's Franklin Graham. His dad didn't quite go that far. His dad would waffle on abortion a bit, but man, Franklin Graham is standing. I think he's going to be marginalized.
Well, he already has been. He spoke against Islam.
Yeah.
And he got marginalized on that.
Yeah.
He is taking a much stronger stand than his dad did on issues that are facing the culture. His dad was, you know, the pastor to the president, and so he never took the opportunity to be the Nathan to David, whereas Franklin Graham is being the Nathan to David. He's standing up and saying, you know, here, let's draw back the curtain. Mm-hmm. And so there is hope out there. Christians need to be encouraged.
Sure.
There's the Phil Robertsons.
Sure.
There's the Franklin Grahams.
Yeah.
And we all have feet of clay, okay?
Yep.
And the media is going to certainly find that. They're going to find how he didn't say it just right, mm-hmm, or how he did something in the past. And so Christians, do not shoot your wounded. Mm-hmm. Do not do that. We tend to do that.
Yeah.
But you should take courage from Phil Robertson, Franklin Graham, and that should be an example for us to follow in our everyday lives. We can stand and speak because we still have First Amendment liberties in this country.
And
but they're being taken away from us.
And you got to appreciate the fact that Franklin Graham stands on his dad's shoulders.
Yep.
Okay? And I appreciate that. I appreciate the fact R.C. Sproul Jr. stands on R.C. Sproul's shoulders. And you think of Henry Morris. And then John Morris.
Right.
Just met John Morris at a conference down in Texas a couple of...
Good guy.
About 9 months ago. Good guy. But here's John. Faithful. Standing on his dad's shoulders.
Well, you and
all
I...
Years, you he's not you backing off. He's not backing off.
You and I are the products of that, too.
Yes, we are.
Okay.
Yeah.
Our fathers weren't famous, perhaps, but they were faithful men.
Amen.
And
I am
grateful, thankful to God for the legacy that my dad gave
me. Praise God.
For his stand.
Me too. I don't know if you knew this, but my dad did write a book on creation in Japanese. It was called The Bible and Modern Science. My dad was a member of Henry Morris's deal back in the 1960s. Wrote the first book, or one of the first books in Japanese called Seisho to Gendai Kagaku, The Bible and Modern Science. And I remember as a 10-year-old boy packaging those 10, 20 at a time and sending them out to missionaries and churches throughout Japan.
Yeah, how cool is that?
Remember that?
That is cool.
Yeah. A lot of fun, but here I am still standing on my dad's shoulders. And I think that's what Franklin Graham is doing right now. He's standing on his dad's shoulders and he's holding more self-consistently to the Word of God. And he's not but backing down. He's calling people to repentance. And by the way, Billy Graham would call people to repentance on sin. And he would do that. But he wouldn't always go to the lengths that Franklin's doing. And I'm thankful Franklin is out front now. Apparently, he showed up at Watchmen's at the Wall conference. I missed that. Watchmen at the Wall national briefing. I missed that. Randy, what's his name, down in...
Alcorn?
No. Anyway. Randy Wilson.
Oh, Randy Wilson.
Randy Wilson.
Oh, yeah.
He operates
buddy.
That organization, I believe. Yeah. Randy Wilson, been on the show before. Anyway, here, Franklin Graham speaking to a large gathering of pastors on Thursday last week. He says, of groups like murderers, idolaters, unbelievers, others, the first group of persons listed are the cowardly of those that wind up in the lake of fire. Revelation 21:8. Wow, I'm convicted already. The cowardly make it into the lake of fire. So he turns to the pastors, said, okay, given that, anybody want to be a coward?
Wow.
That's the way I would put it. He doesn't put it that way. He says, the definition of a coward will not confront an issue that needs to be confronted due to fear. That's a coward. God hates cowards. This is Franklin Graham. And the cowards that the Lord is referring to are the men and women who know the truth but are refused to speak it. In his remarks at the dinner session, Graham spoke about the need for churches to speak out against abortion and homosexuality, declaring that you're not going to shut me up. Wow.
Yeah.
I'm thankful.
Yeah.
For Franklin Graham.
That echoes what James Dobson said, come get me.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be quiet about this. Yeah.
Also reminds me of Richard Wurmbrand sitting in 1952 or whatever in that whole, church conference. And I think it's Stalin's there. So Joseph Stalin shows up at the conference. He goes with all the other pastors from Romania. And all the pastors are getting up and praising Stalin and communists. And his wife sits next to him and turns to him and says, you better get up there and speak. He says, if I do, you'll lose a husband. She says, if you don't, I don't want to be your wife. So,
wow.
In other words, I don't want to be married to a coward. So he gets up and he says what he needs to say about the godless system of communism. And that's, of course, the beginning of the end for his persecution. In the next 20 years or whatever, he's rotting Romanian prisons and tortured for Christ. Anyway, the story is important because he's willing to stand up against the politically correct, powerful trends of the day.
Wow.
And that's
convicting.
Wurmbrand versus Ceausescu in 1952. Well, now fast forward to 2014, and here we stand up against these powerful, powerful trends in the nation that are very much in favor of some of the most egregious forms of sin that the world has ever seen. Now, will you stand or won't you? I think the Lord gives us these tests to determine whether we've got the faith, the courage to take the stand and not be the coward. What do you think?
Yeah, I do. And that is chilling. It is convicting. I've been to Romania. I was in Romania in 1992, shortly after Ceausescu was ousted.
Right.
And I visited the square in the city where I was. And on one end there was a memorial, because on the steps of the government building, there had been a massacre. Children had marched out holding the Romanian flag, and the mercenaries had marched in and mowed them down.
Wow. It's cruel.
Mowed school children down.
Yeah.
And because they thought the Romanian flag would protect them, they held it up.
Mm-hmm.
And Ceausescu was brutal.
He was one of the worst.
Yeah. But we have outdone him in this nation.
Yeah.
We are now endorsing sin.
Mm-hmm.
We are celebrating sin.
Mm-hmm.
And sure. So guys like Phil Robertson, like Franklin Graham, I'm thankful for them.
Yeah. Graham says that we're becoming targets. And He says, friends who are pastors say they want to preach the gospel and not become targets. He says, well, don't you think the Lord Jesus Christ was a target? Could we get our heads chopped off? We could. Maybe one day, so what? Chop it off.
You know,
don't you love language like that? Come on down. Come on down.
You know, I work for Worldview Academy, which is a Christian leadership training program for students 13 to 18. And people can check it out at worldview.org. But I jokingly, years ago, said, I'm going to design a T-shirt for our students. And it's and on one side, it's going to have a big red target on the back of it. And on the front, it's going to say, hi, I'm a Christian. Shoot me. And students, whenever I jokingly say that, said, I want one. I want one. And we've decided that parents probably wouldn't want their kids to have that. But that's exactly what we're saying when we're saying stand up for a biblical worldview.
You know, Bill, we've been toying with a church growth program in our little local church out here in Elizabeth, kind of a persecution preparation project. It means it's a new church growth.
So the three P's, strategy. Persecution preparation project.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of a, you yeah. know, church growth project. Yeah. Come on down. We're going to prepare for persecution here. Okay, we're going to be back in just a moment. Bill has a story to tell. You got to hear this one in just a moment. This is Kevin Swanson. The program is Generations.
Here we are on the last day at the bottom of the ninth, two outs, bases loaded. We have Swanson on first, Boyer on second, and Bill Jack on third.
I tell you, it sure has been a Super Conference championship.
Well, here comes their heavy hitter, Vody Bachum.
You know, he sure has had a great year. He's been knocking out of the park, hasn't he?
Oh, yeah, on a pretty regular basis. Well, there's the windup and the pitch. It's a long fly ball down the right field line. It has the distance. And you can kiss it goodbye. Another home run, a walk-off grand slam. Ryan, wake up, bud. Wake up.
Did I miss it?
Did you miss what?
The Rocky Mountain Super Conference on the family.
No, that's not till June 12th to 14th.
Oh, that's good. With all the heavy hitters this year, I do not want to miss this one.
Well, it's pretty easy to sign up. All you have to do is go to check.org.
Check.org?
Yeah, check.org. But you'd better sign up today. You're not going to want to miss this one.
And we're back on the Generations broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson, Bill Jack, also in studio with me. Bill, you know, on the issue of homosexuality, and it's coming like a ton of bricks, and it's going faster and faster and faster. They're moving towards pressing Christians towards persecution. And here's the question that a lot of us are asking. Are we as Christians more in a defensive mode or an offensive mode? And the feeling I get from Franklin Graham is he's still on the offensive. He's still, we're out there, we're going to take this to the national pulpits, and we're going to say this is a sin against God and call a nation to repentance. That sounds offensive to me.
Yes.
Not so much defensive.
Yes.
It's also rather offensive in the other way.
Yes. It's offensive to the culture. Yeah, and I think we need to go on the offensive.
Yeah.
And because in states where they've added, you can't discriminate based on race, religion, you know, sex or sexual orientation, the radical militant homosexuals have now seized that opportunity and they are silencing Christians. Case in point, New Mexico photographer who refused to film a same-sex union.
Yep.
And she was fined $6,600, if I'm not mistaken. She appealed to the state Supreme Court. The state Supreme Court upheld the fine against her. She appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court. The U.S. Supreme Court refused to hear the case. Case in Oregon, where a baker was ordered to bake a wedding cake for a same-sex couple. He chose to close his doors.
Right, we cover that story.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's the case in Washington State where the florist who had a long-term relationship as a client customer with the same-sex, with a homosexual, and when he wanted to do his same-sex wedding, she said, no, I can't do that because of my Christian beliefs. I love you guys, but I can't do that. Mm-hmm. He sued her. Here in Colorado, a baker was approached by a same-sex couple. When he refused, he said, I'll sell you anything in the store, but I can't bake you a cake because it's an iconic symbol of marriage. And marriage is between one man and one woman. And as a result, he was ordered to cease and desist by the Civil Rights Commission.
So we're on the defensive. We're on the defensive. And sounds to me like they're coming after us.
They are. And Christians need to go on the offensive.
Mm-hmm.
If they're going to apply the law this way, they should apply it equally in all cases. And so one of the things I did is I went into several bakers mm-hmm. around the metro area in Denver, and I said, I'd like two cakes. Give me a quote on two cakes. I want them in the shape of a Bible. On one cake, on one side, I want God hates sin, Psalm 45:7.
Mm-hmm.
On the other side of that same cake, I want Leviticus 18:22. Mm-hmm. Homosexuality is a detestable sin.
Mm-hmm.
And on the second cake, on one side of the page, I want God loves sinners. And then on the facing page, Romans 5:8, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And
sounds good. Good Bible verses. Good solid Bible verses.
It's truth and grace. Sure. Truth and grace.
Absolutely. Need both.
Here's the sin.
Yep.
Here's the remedy.
There you go.
Okay.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
And the looks on their faces were classic.
Mm-hmm.
They were stunned. Some of them were stunned.
Were they aware that these verses come from the Bible?
You know, that it was interesting because one guy said, you know, I haven't turned down a cake in 30 years. Now this is a bakery
uh-huh.
that opened 30 years ago.
Wow.
I recall it opening 30 years ago
uh-huh.
and it is a sexually explicit bakery.
Okay.
They will put right. anything you want, anything you okay. can imagine on right. a cake.
Okay. Okay.
And he said, I haven't turned down a cake in 30 years, but mm-hmm. I'm going to turn down your cake. And I said, why? It's just what the Bible says. He said, because it's quote, hateful.
Mm-hmm.
It's hateful.
Okay. Okay.
So
he
suddenly,
evidently he's a little being a little hateful towards the Bible.
Yeah, and I asked.
So one, seems were you feeling the hate a little?
You
bit?
Know, I was feeling their discomfort.
Uh huh.
And yes, these were bakeries.
So they found the scriptures distasteful.
Yes.
Which means hateful.
Yes.
And so okay, I'm just kind of putting it together. It's a question of what you hate ultimately. And
these are bakers who advertised on the LGBT friendly sites.
Okay, right.
Because they want to gain business. That doesn't mean that they are
so they
homosexual.
Turned you down.
They turned
you
down.
They effectively are prejudiced against you and they decided they're not going to do business with you.
Correct.
Okay.
And so I decided if they're going to apply the law mm-hmm. on discrimination.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'm going to see if they will apply it equally to Christians who are discriminated against.
Mm-hmm.
And so I filed a claim with the Colorado Civil Rights Commission okay. claiming discrimination based mm-hmm. on religion,
mm-hmm. sure,
based on public accommodation.
Right.
And we'll see where it goes.
Okay, very good. Well, we need to cover that. We need to stay on that as the weeks and the months go by. We'll see if the courts are consistent on this discrimination thing. They don't want to discriminate against sexual orientation, but what about religion?
I don't think when it comes to religion, yeah.
My guess is they're willing to toss that out all for the sake of Nero, because nobody, I tell you, nobody wants to discriminate against Nero, at least those who embrace same-sex marriage.
Need to be tolerant.
Okay. All right, my friends, we're out of time, but time now for our fundraising. We do this once a month. I'm sorry, we do this once a year, and you know, this keeps the program on the air. It turns out we don't get a lot of support from Nike, Pepsi, and other mainstream supporters. GQ magazine does not go for this program.
Are you saying they discriminate against you?
They certainly don't want to support us.
they use their advertising money discriminately?
Yes.
Yes. And so we're asking for listeners to be discriminate.
Be very discriminate about what they support.
Yes.
So support something that would be in line with your values.
Vote with your dollars.
Things you believe in. Yeah.
Vote with your dollars.
Exactly what you're saying earlier in the program. So if you'd like to support a program that's standing on biblical principle, and okay, we're not a real expensive operation. We are not on the 54th story of the EIB tower.
I have a really comfortable.
We do not have a
folding
golden
chair.
Microphone. Yeah, all he gets is a folding chair.
Yeah.
It's padded, though.
It's padded.
It's ripped. It's ripped, but it's padded.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're not talking about a very expensive operation here, friends. This is a basement operation. Okay.
You can get in on the ground floor.
You
then.
Can get on the ground floor of this operation. Okay. Yeah. It's a wonderful opportunity for everybody out there who wants to get in on the ground floor on a program that is espousing a biblical worldview in the 21st century. And my friends, you can check out supporting our program at the website, generationsradio.com. Just click on donate and be one of the 100 sponsors we're trying to collect this month to keep us on the air for one more year. We are in our 11th year. We have done this thing for 10 years now, Bill, and we're not about to quit. So, ladies and gentlemen, support the program. Go to generationsradio.com or kevinswanson.com and support us today. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.